Well, let's start. This presentation, I will sort of guide you through our mode of operations, and by saying that I mean we function as a collective, and I will sort of introduce how that functions on itself. After that, I will give a brief insight in our past projects, working towards the most recent, actually, which is, as Max introduced already, a internet website. It's a website which started from our. Comes from our activities in Detroit, so to say. So let's get started. Expodium is a collective dedicated to investigate and working with problems that surface in transitional areas. Initiating and facilitating interventions in public space. I have a small technical kind of thing. Can I have like a full screen here of my slide? That's impossible.
Okay,
we'll manage, no worries. So at this time we have a project space in Canal Island, which is actually a transition area in Utrecht, in Detroit, as said. So what we do, we invite artists to research the role of art in transition areas in the Netherlands. And as I said, this is sort of how the team is built up. This is the basis of our network, consisting of three persons, myself on the production management, so to say, as an artist on the artistic practice, and a theorist on the, the knowledge production. Of course, as you can see, like this is, we exchange information and create the debate amongst ourselves, and this directly sort of gives you an insight in how we build up our projects. In collaboration, of course, with artists, peers, and experts, Expodium gains information and we filter, reflect, report, and develop tactics that do not follow a general norm of knowledge production, but they are operations that gain vital information about the area and at the same time cause a direct effect in it. What I mean by that is that, like, the knowledge that is produced, we do through a cultural program, as said, through long-term collaborations with artists. At least for like a year or 1.5 years, we collaborate with artists. This is sort of an illustration on how the network evolves to the projects, the project as sort of a cloud, a nebula around the collective. And of course, that's sort of an organic kind of mode of operations, which means that it always adapts to a certain situation, to a certain given situation in public space. This is an illustration of how that network then extends and how it works. The artist brings in the performers, the visual artists, the designers, and musicians, some local people, as we of course are always part of an urban development situation. And in that sense, the local residents are a great influence for us to gain knowledge. Of course, the theory brings in the art critic, the media, the architects, historians, and editors. I think this sort of speaks for itself, to continue. Through that asset, that creates the project, the program, which consists of reflections, debatings, blogging, lectures, guerrilla tactics, energetic micro-events, and interventions. Just to give that more an idea, as I said, it's an organic one. So it's always on the move and in action. The this illustrates how we come from the process, what it actually means. Exporium provides informal methods of research, pinpoints the core of a given problem, and stimulates the city's users to crank up the conversation about their surroundings. Exporium maps, archives, and processes this information and utilizes it in the future challenges. One thing, of course, leads to another thing. It's a reaction. So there you have it. The process is a physical presence in an area, which we find really important. It consists of lectures, roundtable discussions, interventions, guerrilla actions, responding, reflecting, and blogging. And the outcomes of those are the open events, performance, publication, artist books, written reports, translations, and new starting points. As said, like one thing leads to another. So actually, you could imagine that Exporium is this guy that runs through time with one leg in the art scene and one leg in the corporate scene. Exporium activates an urban area and by doing so offers corporations and developers a change in their modus operandi. We always have been gaining knowledge through this artistic practice, as I said, and it's interesting that so far we have been able to do that on cultural funding, but also always with the aim to sort of discuss that role of the position of art in the urban transition areas. So we have been doing research events, education, and publications. And that gained a set of activities that actually are by nowadays value for corporate organizations as well. And then I talk about the housing organizations, policy makers, since they need to change as well. And since we have that practice and experience, we try to pitch that to to the corporations and to gain commissions. This is a slide for what we have been doing so far since we're dealing with this urban development. 2008, we have been focusing on Hoog Catharijne. You should know Hoog Catharijne is a huge shopping mall in Utrecht. I think everybody right here knows what Hoog Catharijne is. It has at its time it was one of the biggest concrete constructions in Europe, and it was put there by fading out a whole station district. So you can imagine that it had quite some impact in the city of Utrecht's infrastructural organization. We were lucky at that time because Hoog Catharijne, as the shopping mall is called, had its 35th celebration. So we were actually allowed to work with these artists in the public space, private public space of that commercial area, and to intervene in that area. And again, that led to another one. Next to it, it's Terrain Vague, which after 2008, since working in this private space, in the private public space in Hoog Catharijne, we actually sort of came aware of the situation that it's very hard, of course, to communicate through images, through artistic practice in Hoog Catharijne itself. So we decided to go to focus on the public sphere, which took place in a research trajectory of 1.5 years that took place, that was called Terrain Vague. Next to that, in 2010, we also started our program in Detroit. Detroit had a specific interest because of its specific urban situation, of course. So we set up a sort of exchange program. We were able to send artists for a period of 10 weeks there to research the situation. And this is connection is not working. Let me introduce that a bit. We set up a residency program in Detroit because of our interest in urban situation in Detroit. We deliberately decided to actually not buy a house there or create our own island within the community over there. But by using the community, it was much easier for us and it's more interesting for us to implement the artist in a community so they can literally be part of a community, and through being present and being active there, learn and gain information that will be translated to our program in the Netherlands, or to the situation in the Netherlands, especially with our focus of Canal Island in Utrecht, which is the transition area. And of course, Detroit and Utrecht are not the same as we can all imagine. Utrecht, for example, is still a growing city, and Detroit is a shrinking city. And that's why I also use the term translating. Again, it's not about comparing, it's about translating the information and the knowledge gained in Detroit through this participant present and practice, translate that to a sort of abstract phenomena and translate that back to the local situation in Kanala Island. This is a diagram made by one of the first visiting artists in Detroit, and this gives you an insight on what their research was about. It was these five pointers: terrain vague as a space, temporary communities, the social contrasts, and economic economy of relations. Where is our technical guy? Because like the links in the PowerPoint. Moet ik de hele PowerPoint verlaten om het internet te kunnen? Ja. Kijk, want op zich, dit zijn gewoon actieve blogs. Of actieve. Okay, dan doe ik dat. Dan laat ik nou. Okay, let's leave it like this and then I show the blogs on the end. Because of course, through this artistic practice and through like a method we obtain, it's kind of hard. It's not really a very physical and visible program. So it's important for us to sort of publish that information through publications and through blogging. The last research trajectory is last and most current is Kanal Island. And this is one of the examples that was this translation of the knowledge we gained in Detroit. We built a porch in Kanal Island also to sort of play around with this fact between private and public space. And you should know that Kanal Island consists of almost 80% Muslim population, and it's a so-called Vogelaarwijk. And not to totally dive into that term, but it's actually a top-down decided situation where it's called a problem area, which means there's a lot of social money and cultural money in 2007 went to this these areas to make them more vital and to adapt them to sort of contemporary way of thinking. The interesting thing in the Netherlands as well is that art is a very used and known tool to sort of speed up a gentrification process. But like, to our opinion, the role of art it has so far in that process is not a really interesting one. So that's why we try to crank up and try to question and work towards a more sustainable role of art in that gentrification process. Another thing we set up in Kanal Island, for example, is so-called night walkers. And both the porch and the night walkers are actually methods of gaining knowledge. It's a methodology, a formula to get in contact, to learn about the situation. And it's really small baby steps to sort of come to a very broad knowledge of the area, which is very vital for an artist to react on later on. Because to our opinion, it's not really interesting to sort of parachute an artist in, does his thing, and leaves out. So the night walkers is a frequently organized night walk. As you can see, it's literally walking at night. What I did not tell so far is that in this Kanal Island area, there is a project initiated by the housing corporations which consists of 8 apartment blocks that are going to be demolished in the near future. And the housing corporations is sort of to prevent the apartments from being empty in the period the authentic inhabitants move out. They invite students and arts organizations and artists to sort of fill up that space, but with the responsibility to contribute to the social situation in the area, which is always a very interesting one, because in this case, the artists that are actually living in the space, their only reason for being there is because of the cheap rent. That, of course, doesn't say anything over the quality and the capability of these artists to crank up that situation and to give something back to Canal Island. So what we try to do with this, these night walks, this is for the newcomers, for the new artists that live in this area. And it's a way of exploring the area, getting to know the area for them, a possibility to, again, gain knowledge and reflect on the area. So that's that research method, so to say. Of course, a big part of this research are the events, the public activities. The first one, again, was in the Hoogkat Reiner project, in which Tielman Meijer Fire installed the kiosk in the commercial area, in which he was selling his concrete homemade souvenirs. The second is the safari is part of the Terrain Vaak project, which was a tour around these fake terrains in public spheres, so to say, in which all our artists, which was a group of 8, intervened in that in the public space. So we toured the public around in limousines, sort of a presidential stoot to this strange situation. Also to sort of be active and be present on a different way in the public space. Next to that, you have Canal Island. That was the opening of the of the project space in the beginning of 2011. The biodiesel workshop and the Tasha, but I will get into these a bit more. As I said, 1st of April we opened the project space in Canal Island with a lot of attention of the neighborhood kids. Chris Megan did a tour in which he sort of looked through his artistic eye together with an architect. They guided the audience through the area to give them a different insight in the area, also to sort of deal with that question. Who is your audience? What can you do as an audience? A biodiesel workshop was done by João Evangelista, which was actually one of the first artists also to go to Detroit. So what we do is, again, work for a longer period with these artists and give them different possibilities to be part of our program. And actually, it's interesting because João in Detroit, of course, is the motive city of the States. And just he was super surprised that one of the most recent engines, for example, that was produced by General Motors was still a 5.9 meter engine. So that in Europe and in China, the more green kind of automobile is more developed than the States have been living, or well, the automobile industry in Detroit have been sort of living behind that stone, so to say. That attracted his interest in biodiesel, and he got in contact with a person in Detroit that is actually a specialist in doing biodiesel workshops. And when João was in the residency in Canal Island, he found out that there was a huge vintage Mercedes population and some kind of clubs as well that were dealing with these vintage Mercedeses, of course, that are to a certain extent related to a Muslim population. So what he's actually offering, these people biodiesel workshops also as a method to get in contact with it. This is the overview of the events. Then education is a big part. We do organize lectures and workshops. Jeroen Boomgaard, René Boomkens, Marcus Miese and Mika Hangala have been a few of them. And we offer that, or well, we offer that to our program is part of the MA Fine Art curriculum of the HKU, which is the Art Academy in Utrecht. And the Fine Art course has a focus, of course, on the individual practice of the artistic, the artist involved. And one part of the curriculum is focused on the relation of artistic practice and public space. And in this context, we organize these workshops and lectures. The outcomes of those are publications. We have two in this series. We are doing this, it's in a way what Maria just said. It's not that we do it on a very regular basis. It's more when it's when the content is there, when it's interesting and it's functional for our program, we publish this. Although we try to do it on a frequently basis, of course. This is the most recent, the publication with Marcus Miese. And next to this expo thesis, which that other series is called, we also publish artist publications. And this, of which I will actually come back, is the Detroit publication that was presented in 2011. And we actually use this publication to set up that website I'm going to talk about later on. It is an archive of impressions. What Nikos and Joao, these two artists again that came up with this publication, they made an archive of impressions, which is sort of started the translation trajectory. What they did, they took a lot of images in Detroit, and they wrote some personal thoughts under it that would be comparable and able to be translated to the Dutch situation, because this publication was also a starting point for translation stations back in the Netherlands, of which was part of the Impact Festival, and they were invited in for Filter Hamburg by Kirsten Niemann, a former curator of the Van Abbe Museum. So just to give you a sort of timeline from what I have been talking so far and how that's related to the present and hopefully to the future as well. We have always been sort of, as I said, focusing on the role and the position of the art in the urban transition areas, and we have been doing that through the research, the event, the educational part and the publication part. Through that, the knowledge was produced, and it's actually, for us it's an interesting, for everybody I think it's a very interesting situation, but also to react to that cross, so to say, which of course is a symbol for the crisis. It's actually a current situation. Of course, the crisis didn't start like in 2011 and has a bigger connotation. But it's interesting for us as Exvodium, always been dealing about this role and questioning this role of art in these transition areas, that also through the economical crisis, the housing corporations and the urban developers and the whole urban development sector, so to say, needs to rethink their position as well and how they're going to make money, because like the economical crisis hits hard in the building environment, so to say. So what we try to do is now that knowledge that is produced through this publication and again through the research events, education and publications, try to pitch that for the corporate world. And what is that corporate world? As I said, it's the housing corporation, the policymakers, and the developers. And of course, it's an interesting one for us as an organization, but it's also it's tricky, and that's what we're trying to sort of developing right now: how we can obtain our autonomous capacity and our autonomous program, but make that valuable for a corporate world, so to say. So through that, we hope to get commissions, and so that our organization isn't only relying on cultural funding anymore, which always has been the case. And in a way, of course, this is a this is actually exactly what the Dutch government want to see. But then again, I think it's interesting for our organization as well sort of crank up that position and crank up that conversation on this urban development, because things need to change. And I truly, strongly believe in the fact that art and an organization as Exposium is able to, by containing its autonomous practice and the way we work. So what we are hoping for and working on is a more sustainable way of implementing art in the urban transition areas in the very near future, which brings us to the following, that actually you could sort of see Exposium as an art organization, as a consultant organization, together with, as I said, one foot in the art world and one in the corporate world. And then what we what we get out of those worlds, of course, the artists are leading for us, because the artists and the thinkers and the alliances, the independence, that creates the knowledge, that creates the research, and that creates the program. But to the corporate world, by doing so and by having this experience, we sort of created this expert position for ourselves as well. So we have an expert-to-expert kind of organization. We're hoping more of sponsorship and commissions, as I said. And then what we bring to both of these worlds is the expansion of the social engaged practices, of course, especially to the artists that are interested in that and are interested in our program. Critical thinking on a, to our opinion, or like a social powerful position within this urban translation situations for the artistic practice. We do bring publications and artist books, of which this one was an example. And to the corporate world, we try to bring research, knowledge, local presence, energetic response, and visibility. And of course, expanding our network is of great importance, and this is sort of bridging to our urban translations platform, which is the webpage, as I was talking about. These publications, we made 20 out of these. As I said, again, started in Detroit. And what we will do is we send 20 of these to a network all over the world. And we invite these people that receive the publication to contribute to the publication, and also to put that information on this webpage. So in our words, what we're doing is we are building up a sort of digital platform, an archive of information, knowledge, experience that is based on the role of art in public situations. Let me read this out loud. The Urban Translations is an expanding web platform initiating by Exposium to map response from a broad set of individuals engaged in art-related practices within urban transition areas. The domain hosts reflections on matters of art in relation to urban developments and social engaged practices worldwide. 20 copies of Exposium's publications, Detroit Back to the Future Archive of Impressions, will be sent, they are not sent yet, to experts globally, inviting them to comment on the project that other touched and involved in the book. Each contributor is encouraged to post thoughts on reflections, comments on reviews, and other contributors. Last but not least, pass the publication on to a member of his or her network. So every publication will sort of start a journey over the world and will sort of create a string. A string that is related to each other, and actually we're hoping on a sort of Facebook kind of situation for knowledge of and practices on art and urban space. So let me first go to this webpage. This is what it's gonna look like once the publications are sent over the world. And who do we cut?
Yeah.
So as soon as these publications will be sent over the world, and I'm just going to hit one. These, of course, are all the locations of the publications in the future. And this is what it will look like. So we have a history here of what has happened. This is always the current position of the publication, and we have a legend here that sort of illustrates what you see and what you can do. The icon of a person is, and it's not really the case in this one, so let me get another one. Let's see. So first it has been sent to a mini driver, and mini driver has sent it to number 14, which is then always, it's not made possible to, it's not made visible who actually has it, but only through the comments. Comments and contributions will end up here. Here you can, if you receive the book, you can subscribe. And then follows a series of questions so you can subscribe. So it will be an open platform, but for only the contributors, the ones who receive the book, are able to put contributions on it. Although everybody is, everybody can log in the future and comment on the information that is there. And by this we hope to extend our network and to gain information which we can use for our, well, both our functions, our cultural program of course, and our advisory situation for the corporate world in the future. And can I come back to Tashka? We invited a Portuguese artist, and I don't know if you guys are aware of the phenomenon, it's called Tashka. Tashka in Portuguese is a taverna, which had a huge social function in areas in Portugal. It was a sort of taverna where the locals cooked offered a very cheap dinner and ended up being a sort of gathering place for people to enjoy conversations and to exchange knowledge. But through EU regulations, as soon as Portugal wanted to become part of the EU, through those regulations it was illegal to have these Dutch guys anymore. So that sort of, well, part of my English, fucked up the whole social situation in cities in Portugal. So what we did, we invited him over, and André Catalão is his name. He made a mobile Tashka, of which he used to travel through Canal Island to sort of start a conversation with the authentic inhabitants, and again, organized in a local social restaurant, so to say. It's a pop-up restaurant for where they offer people a €6 dinner for locals and people from outside, and he hosted a Portuguese evening also to bring people together, stimulate a conversation. And what we try to do is also not to call everything an artistic practice. For example, that building the porch is, it comes through an artistic way of thinking, but like building a porch is not really, well, we do not present it as being an art piece on itself. It is, again, it needs to function as a mediator, as an incubator of information and gaining knowledge by getting in contact through these projects.